Rays Radio Network proudly presents This Week in Rays Baseball.
Drilled to center field and deep. Back on it is Eaton. To the track. To the wall. It's gone! Evan Longoria with a two-run home run to straightaway center. And he gives the Rays a 6-4 lead here in the ninth.
Coming up, we'll recap the action from this past week, take a look around Major League Baseball, and sit down for in-depth interviews with the biggest names in the game.
1-2. Got a pitch. Got him swinging, and the ball game is over as Jake McGee strikes out the side in the ninth inning.
Here's your host, Neil Solons.
Good afternoon. Welcome to our show on this Sunday as the Rays try to sweep the A's in Oakland and finish a 10-game road trip at 500. On today's program, you'll get to know a bit more about Asdrubal Cabrera and who was the biggest influence on him growing up. We'll chat with Mark Topkin from the Tampa Bay Times from Oakland and look at the Rays' challenges on the mound without Jake McGee, with pitching coach Jim Hickey, plus much more. We start, though, with highlights from the week gone by. Now, Sunday, the Rays were looking to salvage a game against the Rangers in Texas. Drew Smyly made his return to the mound, and it wasn't quite the start he was hoping for.
There's a long drive deep in the air to left field. Jennings turns and looks, and Beltre has hit it out. It's 4-3 Rangers.
Smyly allowed 5 runs in 4 innings, giving up at least a run in each frame he pitched, and Tampa Bay fell 5-3 as Texas swept that series. Monday, the Rays began a 4-game set against the Astros in Houston. Tampa Bay took out its frustrations on the Astros in the very first inning with a 2-out rally against former Ray Scott Kazmir.
And an 0-2. Here's a long, high drive into left field. Back of the ball goes Tucker. Back to the wall, and it is gone. Home run. A 3-run homer for Tim Beckham. And in the first inning, the Rays have a 4-0 lead.
The Rays got all they needed with a 4-run first and rolled to a 9-2 victory over the Astros. Erasmo Ramirez earned his 10th win, becoming the 4th Nicaraguan pitcher ever to do so in a season. Tuesday, the Rays looked to start a win streak. Unfortunately, Jake McGee gave up a run in the 8th, and Houston won it in the 10th.
And Boxberger throws. Swing and a long drive to right. To the corner it goes, and the Astros have won it on a walk-off homer by Marwin Gonzalez. The Astros win it 3-2 and beat the Rays for the first time this season.
And with that 10-inning loss, the Rays fell a game below 500. More than that, Jake McGee was injured, and it was later discovered he'd be out for much of the remaining portion of this regular season. Now, Wednesday, the Rays saw more of the same. 2 outs away from handing Dallas Keuchel his first home loss this year, the Rays were unable to tack on runs late, and the bullpen lost a 2-1 lead, this time in the ninth. And again, the Rays fell in extras.
And Andrees home. Swing and a ground ball, base hit right field. They pitched to Correa. He made him pay. And the Houston Astros have walked off again on the Rays. The final score, Houston 3, the Rays 2.
And that in 13 innings as the Rays dropped to 2-10 in extra innings this year. Now Thursday, the Rays needed an answer in order to split that series in Houston. And his name was Chris Archer.
Swing and a tapper toward third. Evan charging. Bare hands. Throws. Rays win! Rays win! Chris Archer goes the distance as he completes his first game of 2015. Gives up only one hit, and the Rays beat the Astros by a score of 1-0.
Chris Archer had his 3rd career complete game shutout. He also surpassed 200 strikeouts for the season, the 4th Rays pitcher ever to do so, joining David Price, James Shields, and Scott Kazmir, who we'll hear from later. Friday, the Rays started a 3-game series against the A's in Oakland. Drew Smyly threw 5 2/3 scoreless innings in his 2nd start off the DL, and Desmond Jennings gave him the support he'd need.
And the 1-2 launch to deep left field. Back towards the corner, fair or foul? And it's off the second deck, and it's fair. Home run. Desmond Jennings with his first of the year, and the Rays' lead is 2-0.
Jennings drove in both runs, and Brad Boxberger survived the 9th inning as the Rays held on to win 2-1 and move back to 500. And then yesterday, the Rays did something they hadn't done all year, come back when trailing going into the 9th inning.
And the pitch from Pomerantz is grounded fair! Down the right field line and into the corner, and this will score 2. Beckham can walk home. Here comes Forsyth. He will score on the 2-run double by Asdrubal Cabrera, and the Rays take a 5-4 lead.
And the Rays won by that 5-4 score and now have a chance to sweep the series today and finish with a 500 road trip. Hey, capture the Outlaw Saturday, August 29th, when the Rays play the Royals. All fans receive a Kevin Kiermaier Outlaw action figure presented by Dex Imaging while supplies last. For tickets, call 888-FAN-RAYS or visit RaysBaseball.com. Raise up! You're listening to This Week in Rays Baseball. Coming up, our conversation with Asdrubal Cabrera that took place during the Houston series. Find out who inspired him to play baseball. That's right after this on the Rays Baseball Network. We continue on This Week in Rays Baseball, and our feature guest this week is Asdrubal Cabrera. And Cabby, you have played well at shortstop all year long, but the last few weeks, your offense has been unbelievable. What is the biggest difference between before you went on the DL, when it looked like you were really starting to get going, and now?
I think the thing is I work hard every day, you know, and be strong in my mind too. Early on the year was a little tough for me, but on the kind of play, I like to come every day to the bullpen, enjoy my job, and work hard.
Is there anything you found either on tape or an adjustment that all of a sudden everything started to go that much better where you're playing like an all-star again?
No, yeah, I mean, like I'm saying, I'm just come to a bullpen, enjoy my game, you know, and I try to have fun, try to help the team to win, and that's all I try to do when I come to a bullpen.
When did you start to, because it's not easy when you go to a new team to feel comfortable, when did you really start to feel comfortable, and who helped you the most, do you think, feel that way?
No, I think that the first day when I come to a spring training, everybody make me feel like comfy. On the clubhouse, we got really good guys, nice teammates in here. So I know Kevin Cash from Cleveland and Shell too, the hitting coach, and most of those guys I'm playing with, Susan in Washington. So I'm being in the league for a little bit, so I know most of the guy.
You mentioned Kevin. How has it been like to play under him as a manager, because you knew him as a coach in Cleveland?
Oh, it's awesome. I'm enjoying play for him. He's the same guy when I meet him in Cleveland, and right now he's the guy work with the players and let you play the game. And I'm really confident to play for him.
What about Shelty? Because you had really good run when you were with him in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a great hitting coach, too. He's the hitting coach, talk with the players no matter how you're doing. He's the guy try to help you a lot. And he's really fine to work with him because he's the funny guy, too. He comes to when you a little struggling. He's trying to make you smile every day. So I'm enjoying working with him.
You obviously have played not good shortstop. You played very well at shortstop. What has it meant to play so well defensively more than anything?
I'm trying to do my best all the time, no matter if I'm defense or offensively. I'm just come to enjoy, and like I'm saying, I'm enjoying my game. I'm fucking every pitch, every game, every hitter. I think that's the key to do what I'm doing right now.
When you talk about the game of baseball, obviously you have a tremendous amount of passion for it. You grew up in Venezuela. When did you realize you wanted to play baseball, that's what you wanted to do for your life?
Well, I think when I started playing baseball when I was 4 years old. And my family from my mom, that was the guy who played baseball. And my mom, she loved baseball too. She was my coach my first 2 years in Little League. And I'm enjoying a lot of play.
You always play shortstop when you were a kid? Is that what you always wanted to do?
Yeah, when I was start playing baseball when I was a kid, I started playing shortstop. And even when I'm signed my first year in professional baseball here with Seattle, I was in shortstop.
You wear number 13, which for Venezuela is a pretty important number. Did you always wear 13?
No. When I was down... Double eight. I'm using number 11 because my brother he loved that number, and I'm start wore that number. And the soon I got caught up, the Indians organization they saved that number for me. So
that must have felt pretty good.
Oh yeah, absolutely. More when you got a guy in Cleveland I'm using for a long time, like Omar Vizquel. He wore that number for a long time in Cleveland. So the soon they give me that number, I feel like somebody put a little pressure and tried to put pressure on me, but I enjoy using number two.
Because that number means a lot to almost every shortstop from their country, from Davey Concepcion to Vizquel to Ozzie Guillen. Do you have a favorite of shortstops that you used to like when you were little?
Yeah, I mean, I watch Omar Vizquel and Ozzie Guillen. Those are the two shortstops. When I was growing up, I never watched David Concepcion play because I'm not even born. But when I started grow up, I watched Omar Vizquel and Ozzie Guillen a lot.
Again, we're chatting with Asdrubal Cabrera on This Week in Rays Baseball. Do you remember the first time you met either Omar Vizquel or Ozzie Guillen? And what was that like when you met them for the first time?
Yeah, the first time I met Omar Vizquel was in Venezuela. I was playing over there, and he was playing for the same thing in Venezuela too. So that was kind of special for me. I never thinking that I'm going to meet Omar Vizquel. And Ozzie Guillen, when I saw him, he was manager in White Sox. So that was a really good moment for me and kind of special in my career.
Did you tell him how much you meant or how much he meant to you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Omar to Omar Vizquel, because after that he came a lot to Cleveland too to play over there. And it was really excited to play over there.
When I say the word shortstop, what do you think makes a really, really good shortstop?
I don't know. I like that position because that's really quick. I mean, you got to be like in the game all the time. You know, you got to be in focus all the time. And that's why I like to play there.
Did you always switch hit? Because that is a very hard thing to do, to have both sides going.
Yeah, the soon I started playing baseball, my mom, she was the one to put me to hit both sides on the plate. And I'm just starting swinging both sides, and I don't feel comfy. And that was a long time ago.
Obviously, we know which shortstops you like, but were there switch hitters that you liked to watch?
I watch everybody. Yeah, I'm trying to learn to everybody. When I saw big great hitters in the play, and I watch the baseball, I just try to focus and see what they do and how they do it.
Obviously, you have a lot of pride in wearing 13 and playing shortstop. I know you have a lot of pride in your son, Mayer, seeing him around the clubhouse and the smile that's on your face. What does it mean to have him around you when the team is home playing games?
It's nothing better when you got your son with you when you're working, And the good thing is he loves baseball too. Mm-hmm. He told me all the time that he's going to be better than me. So that made me feel happy, And he loved to come to the ballpark, watch me play, even when I'm doing good or when I'm not. He told me all the time when I strike out like 3 times in the game. When I get home, he told me all the time why I'm strike out all the time. Yeah, but that's kind of special when I can talk with him. He's really young, but he's really smart too. He loves the game. He understands the game a lot. So he's the one when I come home, we start talking about baseball. And I'm telling all the time him that we learn every day something about baseball.
Does it make it that much easier when you're having, just because he's there? Because it's so, very few people get to do that, to have their son grow up on the game like him.
Yeah, I think make me feel like really comfy, and when you talk with your son and when he loves what you're doing when he thinking that he's gonna be better than you. I mean, that's kind of special for me, and I hope one day he's gonna be better than me.
Now, is he gonna play shortstop?
I don't know. He loves play first and catcher too. So whatever he wanna play, so that's gonna be good for me.
Obviously his dad is his favorite player, but does he have any other players he really likes and has grown to like in this clubhouse?
Oh yeah, he loves Mike Trout. Yeah, Miguel Cabrera. When he saw those guys play, he gets excited. And even when we play with LA in Tampa, he made me to go to the LA clubhouse to take a photo with Mike Trout and Albert Pujols too. So he loves everybody here. I mean, he the kind of player he know who's good, who's not. So I'm really sad.
You've had some very good moments this year. Not only the way you've played lately, but you picked up 1,000 hits. What did that mean to you? Because it obviously you've had a good long career.
I mean, those thousand hit coming, I'm say all the time the right situation, because I was like I was hitting like 210 in the moment, and my wife, she was the one telling me, hey, well, you hit 220 right now, but you got 1,000 hit in almost 1,000 game too. It's not everybody can do, I mean, 1,000 game and 1,000 hits at the same time. And that made me think, like, that was true. That was last, that I don't have like, bad career. And it's kind of special for me. I mean, when you start playing baseball, you saw those 1,000, like, really far. And the sooner you did it, you were thinking, like, wow, that I did it, so...
You went to the playoffs last year. You went to the playoffs with Cleveland. You're in 13, and your first year there. This team is still in the playoff race. What would it mean to go back to the postseason for you?
Hey, for me, that's the key when you start the season. You want to be there in October. So now we gotta think is to win. I would love to. To make the playoff, and because when you play this league for a little bit, you wanna win. I love to win. I hear loss all the time, and that's why the reason I'm picked to come here to Tampa, because this is the kind of team don't have big names, but they play good baseball, and they always fight every year, and the last couple of years they make the playoffs too, so.
You obviously love baseball. When you're not playing, what do you like to do? What do you do to relax?
I'm trying to enjoy my sons, my kids. I got three kids, and I love to be at home. I like horses too. I got horses in home. I like go to the beach and enjoy my life. You know, my vacation with my family, and I got a big family in Venezuela. I like to come. I like to go there and have fun with them.
Well, hopefully your off season is still a ways away, because there's a lot of baseball to be played in October. Continued success. Thanks for a few minutes on This Week in Rays Baseball.
Thank you.
That's Asdrubal Cabrera. We continue right after this. You're listening to the Rays Baseball Network. Welcome back to This Week in Rays Baseball. I'm Yul Solons. One of the big stories this week came in Houston, where Jake McGee was injured. Rays pitching coach Jim Hickey started his coaching career with the Astros, and I spoke with him in Houston about making up for McGee's loss and what it meant to return to Houston.
It is special to come back here. This is where everything basically started for me. I signed in 1989 as a double-A player with Houston and began coaching in the minor leagues in 1991 and coached all the way through until 2006, until I came over to the Rays. So it's always a special place for me, but I really, really do enjoy this city. I enjoy this ballpark very much, and it's always fun to come back.
Even though it's been 9 years, obviously I would guess there's still some people you're tight with that you get to see on I guess, a once-a-year basis here?
Well, there's a number of people that are still here that I'm familiar with. You know, the Houston Astros spring training complex is right down the street from my residence also, and I rent to some of the Astros personnel while I'm in season, and they rent my house, so I still have that type of a relationship with them. I went to school in Texas also, college, so I have a number of friends that are in the area as well. A lot of connections here, and I really do enjoy coming back.
You had some great pitchers when you were here. They've got now Keuchel and McHugh is their 1-2 along with Kazmir. What impresses you about their group from a pitching standpoint?
I like their group a lot. I especially like their left-handedness, you know, now with Kazmir and Keuchel as well. You didn't even mention McCullers, who I'm very, very impressed with him. I like what they've done. You see what their bullpen is like, what they did last night. They're capable of doing that. And, you know, not just the pitching. The lineup's extremely potent. A lot of power, a lot of home runs. They can put up a lot of crooked numbers. So this is a team that has a chance to go a long way into the postseason.
Yet you guys have done a pretty good job overall this season against their lineup. And obviously for the remaining 6 weeks of the season, you're going to be somewhat challenged with the injury to Jake McGee. How much, I mean, you had to deal without Jake early in the season, but how much does it hurt now?
Well, it's going to hurt, but all it is another opportunity for somebody else, and we talk about this all the time. We did fine when Jake was out originally. Kevin Jepson had left us about a month ago, and we've done fine since then. We're going to do fine, without Jake right now. Certainly, we'd like to have him, but you're just going to see a better opportunity or maybe a greater opportunity for a guy like Xavier Cedeño, maybe pitch a higher leveraged innings deeper in the ball game. You're going to see Alex Colome, who was extremely impressive last night, striking out the side with really, really power stuff. You'll see him probably later in the games. You'll see Brandon Gomes get larger opportunities, and Brandon's on a nice little roll right now as well. Steve Geltz. I mean, it's going to be a challenge, certainly, but it's just an opportunity for somebody else to step up, and I'm sure they will.
The first three guys you touched on, Cedeño, Colome, and Gomes, all have improved recently. Can you address each of them and how they've kind of taken steps forward?
Well, I think Cedeño has been good throughout the whole entire course of the season. He had maybe one little hiccup in there that was maybe a couple of appearances. But this is obviously a left-handed pitcher, but he's got really good stuff, and he has no fear whatsoever, and he knows what he's doing out there. He's been extremely aggressive in the strike zone, and he's done a great job. His improvement is, I won't say it's surprising. It's very impressive, but it's not a huge surprise because he came very well-armed, and we saw that right away. But he has done a great job. Obviously, Brandon Gomes is also, he's on a nice little roll lately. Spring training, this was probably arguably the best pitcher that we had in camp. Unfortunately for him, it was just a paperwork type of a thing where he didn't break with the team, but now obviously a very, very important part of our bullpen. But another guy who his improvement is not a huge surprise. He also was very well equipped, and he's very, very comfortable and very confident now. And we also talked about Alex Colome, and Alex probably has the biggest transition, and if there is a surprise, maybe he's the biggest surprise just because he made the move from a starting rotation to a longer relief pitcher to now probably somebody you're going to see more like the one-inning relief pitcher and probably get himself a lot of nice, meaty, late-in-the-game situations, and I think he's going to do fine as well. He's really embraced that role also, and a lot of times when pitchers go from the starting rotation to the bullpen, they're not entirely happy with that and satisfied, but he's basically embraced that role.
Can it be at all similar to a Wade Davis? I mean, you had to help transition Wade to a relief role. It seems that Alex is getting more swings and misses since he went from starting to pitching out of the pen.
Well, I guess you could make a comparison between him and Wade Davis, but just like I touched on, Wade wasn't thrilled with coming out of the rotation. Alex, maybe not thrilled, but he had pitched in relief before, and he liked that relief role. It took Wade much, much longer to kind of get used to relieving. Obviously, he's one of the best in the game right now, and he was good for us as well, but you saw Alex hit the ground running when he came into the, from the starting rotation and into the bullpen. It was something that he really didn't need a lot of transition. He had done it in winter ball before, and he likes pitching out of the bullpen. So they are similar, but I think, although Wade, like I say, Wade is elite, Alex can be that also. But I think Alex took to it a little bit quicker than Wade did.
And the jump in strikeouts, what do you attribute that to since he moved to the pen?
I think it's just a normal uptick in stuff, an uptick in velocity, an uptick in maybe the breaking ball because you're only going out there for the one inning, maybe four outs, maybe five outs, whatever it is, but you're not thinking about lasting 105, 110 pitches, five, six, or seven innings into the ball game.
And that is Rays pitching coach Jim Hickey. Now, the pitchers will get a chance to pitch in higher leverage roles with McGee out or Alex Colome, Steve Geltz, Brandon Gomes, and Xavier Cedeño, who set a Rays record this week with 15 straight appearances without allowing a run or a walk. And I asked Xavier what that meant.
I mean, it means a lot, Guy with, I would say it's probably my full year in the big leagues, my first full year. So I feel pretty excited about it, It's good news.
You've gotten, I think, better as the year has gone on in terms of getting more swings and misses. Are there things that you're doing better now than you were, or little adjustments you're making?
Not really. I mean, I'm just throwing the ball over the plate more. I mean, more over the plate lately. And then once I get to two strikes, then I'm trying to make him chase, back pitches out of the zone. That's probably why I'm attacking more.
Jake, obviously being injured, is going to create more opportunities. I know you don't like to see someone get hurt, but obviously now you're kind of the first lefty in the bullpen. What does that mean, and are you excited to get some more chances late in games too?
Well, it's sad to hear, about Jake. It's a big part of our bullpen back end. he's huge out there in the back. But, you know, we got some guys on there, and it's not only me. We got Colmay, we got Steve Gels, Gomes. I mean, we got a few guys on there that we can do the job, and we just, you know, step up and we got to make it happen.
Here's Cedeno now elevated to the race top lefty with Jake McGee injured. Brandon Gomes has pitched real well, too. In fact, retiring 26 straight hitters. And I asked Brandon what the biggest difference has been.
A few mechanical tweaks, but the biggest thing is just getting back to really focusing on getting great extension and getting everything out front. And that's, you know, it's something simple like that. But over the course of a season, you know, different things pop up that you kind of lose certain mechanical things, which is frustrating. But the good thing is that kind of found it again, and now I know, you know, what the key is.
One would think that you and others are going to get increased opportunity with the injury to Jake. First touch on the injury itself and the group that's kind of got to make up for his loss.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you lose a guy like Jake with his, you know, his talent and his presence in the bullpen, you know, both as a teammate and out on the mound, it's really hard. But, you know, we've kind of dealt with different adversity through the whole year, so you know, we're just going to continue whenever your name gets called and whatever the situation is, just to go out there and you know, do what you're asked to do for that day and then go from there.
One would think it's going to create increased opportunities for you, for Colomay, for Gels, for Cedeno too. I know it's not good to see a teammate go down, but what's the level of excitement to get increased opportunities perhaps later in games?
I mean, I think kind of everybody's been used in those situations throughout the year, so I don't think it'll be any different. It just might be you know, just a little more frequent, but you know, the thought process is the same, and you know, the attack mode that we all have is, you know, none of that's going to change no matter what inning we're throwing in.
And that's Rays reliever Brandon Gomes. Let's pause for station identification. You're listening to the Rays Baseball Network.
The home of Rays baseball, 620 WDAE St. Petersburg and 95.3 FM.
Neil Solon's with you on This Week in Rays Baseball, and joining us now to look at the week gone by, Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times from Oakland, where the Rays wrap up their 10-game trip today. Mark, certainly has been an interesting week for you and the Rays.
Yeah, Neil, it sure has. To think of how this road trip started with three losses in Arlington, and then a win, and then two kind of heartbreaking defeats, walk-off losses in Houston that you were there for, and now the Rays sit here with a chance today, not only for their first ever sweep in Oakland, but a chance to make this a 500 road trip and actually perhaps gain a drop of ground in the wild card race from when they left to now, which is pretty remarkable given how it looked like this trip was headed.
Without question, and certainly especially when you consider the other piece of the puzzle, that's Jake McGee got hurt on this road trip, which is certainly, I would think, probably the biggest story of the week.
Yeah, I mean, certainly was the loss of Jake McGee. I mean, he's been such a huge part of the Rays bullpen, and mostly in that eighth inning role, but also, you know, along with Boxberger, kind of the second most high leverage guy that they've been using, and certainly after the trade of Jepson. So a big loss there, but I think we've also seen a very quick ascension of Alex Colomay being, you know, entrusted with some late inning work. The other day, just the one inning in the eighth inning in Houston, and then last night, you know, you saw him go the eighth and the ninth inning, get the final out of a game for the first time, you know, in that situation. And he was very excited by that opportunity. Kevin Cash said he plans to use him some more, but you know, I think Boxberger is still going to be the primary guy, obviously, in those ninth inning situations. But I think now Alex Colomay, with McGee being out, has emerged as another legitimate option.
And you wrote about in Rays Tales today really the six surprises with all the injuries the Rays have had to deal with, guys who have emerged. By the end of September, you might have to add a seventh if Colomay continues on this pace. But I really enjoyed, you know, the six that you hit on. How hard was it to rank the six? Logan Forsythe, Erasmo Ramirez, Steve Gels, Xavier Cedeno, Nathan Karnes, and Kurt Casale, because, you know, a lot of them have really contributed in major ways to the fact that this team is a game over 500.
Yeah, Neil, it was, and thanks, and that's in today's Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com, and looking at, you know, the guys, like you say, who unexpectedly got opportunity and really maximized them. And I think Logan Forsythe stands out as the clear number one on that list. I mean, he has become arguably one of the top second basemen in the major leagues this year. When you look at his offensive numbers, you watch the solid defense that he's played, you know, home runs, batting average, production, RBIs, OPS, I mean, almost any way you want to measure it, he plays fed every day, and yet he's also filled in at first and even once third when the Rays have needed him to. So you know, I think he is really the guy that's taken advantage of an opportunity. He was scheduled, you know, for basically platoon duty coming out of spring training with Nick Franklin, and then Franklin got hurt toward the end of spring, and that changed the whole dynamic, and Forsythe made the most of it. But, you know, the two relievers, Cedeno and Gels, were really hard to kind of separate, and they both had huge roles. I think maybe ultimately I went with Gels a little higher just because he's pitched in the higher leverage situations mm-hmm. than Cedeno. And, you know, Erasmo Ramirez and Nathan Karns also, two guys who came in, you know, in different circumstances. Karns, they kind of thought, you know, could be a part of the rotation if they needed it. Just he moved up much higher slotting than expected. But who would have thought Erasmo Ramirez, who got picked up from basically, you know, Seattle's discard pile, ends up being the number two winner on this team?
Amazing. And yesterday, Seattle discarded a guy in Fernando Rodney. They designated him for assignment. Now, with Jake McGee going down, is there any chance the Rays would look at trying to acquire him through a waiver deal or add any other reliever, or do you think they're pretty pleased with the emergence of Colum A with Cedeno, Gels, and Gomes?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm sure they're going to give you the default answer. They're always looking and always considering ways to improve their team. Fernando Rodney's obviously a guy who had great success here a few years ago, but really has struggled in a couple years since and really been inconsistent. So, you know, all I've heard at this point is they're going to explore that, but I don't get the sense it's a top priority. And still, obviously, you know, whether it's a waiver deal or a trade, a lot of things have to be worked out. Other teams are going to be interested as well. So I would think there'd be some interest at this point. I don't know that it's a high priority. It would be an interesting move, and certainly you could make the case with McGee out. It'd be worth a chance to reunite him with Jim Hickey and see if he can work his magic with him again. But, you know, maybe not at this, you know, key juncture, this point of a season. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that unfolds.
Because I would think, and tell me if I'm wrong, Mark, that if they're going to make a move, you would think that the bullpen or a pitcher would be the most likely addition before September 1st.
I would think so. And if they are, you know, it's still kind of, you know, you run into that kind of irony of, you know, they traded a guy they had, Kevin Jepson, who's filling that role. And then, you know, they get the bad fortune of losing McGee, you know, 2 weeks after that, and now maybe looking for a higher leverage pitcher. But, you know, maybe there's a pickup to be made. And that's the other thing with Rodney is if you make a move at this point, you almost think you'd want it to be somebody you know is going to be able to contribute mm-hmm. and do well, and maybe not somebody you're kind of taking a, you know, an uncertain chance on. So, you know, whether they can find a little bit of bullpen help and add one more veteran back there, it would seem like with McGee out, that would make a smart move. But I also think they really are excited about what Colum A has a chance to do.
Without question, and obviously he's been dominant in the innings that he's been given a chance in high leverage this week. You mentioned Jepson, and his return is this week, and you also touched in Ray's tales about Ben Zobrist coming back. It's kind of interesting they had Logan Forsythe at the top of that list of guys who've been surprises. He really almost has been Ben Zobrist-esque in terms of how consistent he's been.
Yeah, and I don't think that's anything the Rays would have expected. I mean, when they traded Ben Zobrist, you know, I think there was clearly going to be a loss on the team, and turning around and signing Ezequiel Cabrera, kind of using that same money and filling with a better defensive shortstop than Zobrist would have been, but you wondered about the offense, and yet Logan Forsythe, as you say, stepped up and basically kind of provided the offense that Ben Zobrist would. That's kind of a Ben Zobrist season, what you're seeing out of Logan Forsythe. So in a way, it worked out for the Rays, but, you know, having Ben Zobrist back at the Trop, I know I exchanged messages with him when he was on the DL and didn't get to come back when Oakland was in earlier this season when he was still with the A's, and he was disappointed at that. So I'm sure he'll be excited about this. I know a lot of Rays people are excited to see him. I would think the fans would give him a huge and warm reception. I think the Rays have a little video thing planned for them as well. And I'm sure just seeing you is going to make his trip, Neil. I think that's probably going to be the highlight.
If that's a highlight, it's not going to be a good weekend for him. But hopefully it's a good rest of the weekend for the Rays with one more today in Oakland. Mark Topkin, thanks for joining us on This Week in Rays Baseball.
Anytime, Neil. Take care.
You got it. Safe trip back. That's Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times. You're listening to This Week in Rays Baseball. Now coming up, X-Ray Scott Kazmir, Rays prospect Brent Honeywell, and Richard Justice of MLB.com. Right after this, you're listening to the Rays Baseball Network. Welcome back to This Week in Rays Baseball. I'm Neil Solons. You know, this past week, the Rays were in Houston, where the first Rays pitcher to strike out 200 batters in a season, Scott Kazmir, is now in his hometown after being traded from Oakland this year. Now, we discussed what this opportunity means to Kaz.
I was surprised with everything that happened. You know, it's kind of always a surprise when you get traded, but you know, being able to come back home, seeing all my friends and family, them being able to watch me watch my games, and just being in the city, being back home, it's a great feeling.
Is it maybe not pressure is the right word, but a little more asked of you in terms of ticket requests and things of that nature? Because when you've got home starts, now they're really home starts.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely a lot more ticket request on my start days, even just Astros games in general. So it's definitely gone up.
When you were a kid, how many games do you remember going to here, and what are your greatest memories as a kid coming to Houston?
There's a lot of memories. I mean, it goes back from the Astrodome when watching them playing at that dome, and then coming here to Minute Maid Park, watching them play. There's so many memories. You know, just off the top of my head, there's, you know, when Bagwell won the MVP for the 95 season, then go all the way to 2005, you know, watching them play in October. So, you know, it was cool.
And 3 years later, you were playing in October for the Rays. Now, you know, you were traded during the season, and I know you've been moved before, but to have it during a regular season is a little different. How tough was it to try and get acclimated to a new group? Because sometimes you get spring training to get adjusted to a new team. Here, you got to do it while the year's going on.
There's always an adjustment period, moving to a different team. Just in the fact of just knowing all the guys, being comfortable in the clubhouse, and, you know, just little things out in the field, you know, just communication with pitcher and catcher and, you know, the guys in the middle infield on certain plays, pickoffs, and you know, who's got the bag. Just simple stuff that you learn in spring training. You just have to pick it up real fast once you get traded.
You were in the postseason last year. We know you were part of the OA championship run with the Rays to the World Series. What does it mean to be back in a playoff race again?
It means everything to a competitor. That's for sure. Anyone that that plays baseball wants to be playing meaningful games come August and September. So, you know, it's something that we're fortunate to be in this position, and being at home to be able to do this. It's a dream come true.
You also get to do it with some pretty talented young pitchers. What's your take now that you get to see Dallas Keuchel and Colin McHugh up close?
They're awesome. First of all, besides what they do on the mound, their preparation, how they prepare before a start is it's something that, you know, you don't really see often. Just on how on strict regiment they are, and just how much they know their bodies. So you know, that's great to see. It really is. And to see how they compete out there, it makes you have that kind of competitive edge to you know, to kind of outdo each other to get the best out of everyone.
And I know you've been part of staffs like that before. Is it kind of weird to be one of the older guys, though, in a rotation? I know you had a little bit of that this year with Oakland.
That's what I was going to say. I'm kind of used to it now, being with Oakland the past couple of years, and being the veteran on that staff, on the entire pitching staff. So it's something that I feel like I want to be that guy. You know, I want to be a guy that has that veteran presence that can be able to be a resource for all the young guys that's coming up, or the guys that are here that are, you know, just getting the experience for the first time.
What can you lend them in terms of preparing them for this stretch run? Because you've been through it before. You've been in the postseason before. For most of those guys, like Keuchel and McHugh, this is their first opportunity to fight for a playoff spot.
It's more or less just control what you can control. You know, you look at the standings every day and think about who's behind you or who's catching up or where you're at. That's not the approach you need to take. It's more or less just stay within yourself and do what you're capable of doing, and everything will take care of itself.
That's Scott Kazmir, and we certainly wish him well going forward with Houston. Now, Kazmir was the first Rays standout starting pitcher. Brent Honeywell may be part of the next wave. The 20-year-old is featured on the next prospect spotlight. Honeywell was promoted from low-A Bowling Green to high-A Charlotte. In his first two outings, he allowed 11 runs in 8 1/3 innings, and that led to a learning moment with his pitching coach there, Doc Watson.
I needed that. I talked to Doc about it. He's like, look, don't even – he's like, these are a wash. That's going to happen. What if that didn't happen all the way up to your career where you get into AAA and then the big leagues, and then what? What happens from there? He's like, you're going to know how to, you know, cope with that during the game, because it was against Clearwater. I went 6, and I give up 6. And I give up 6, I think, in the first two innings, and then I just shut them down from there. And, you know, I was – you know, kicking myself in the tail, telling him, well, what are you doing? It's your first start out here. What are you doing?
Was it somewhat humbling, too?
Yeah, of course. I wouldn't say humbling, I guess, is because I'm always kind of a down-to-earth guy. I didn't like it, of course, but it goes back to the fact that, you know, I wasn't making good pitches. I wasn't within myself. I don't know what was going on, but I fixed it after the second one, and I really told myself, look, make good pitches. That's all you're worried about right now. Executing your pitches and let the rest fall in place.
You're obviously a different pitcher from a lot because you throw a pitch that most don't. Tell us the evolution of the screwball.
I learned it when I was 13. Threw it. Took me 2 years to really know what the pitch was going to do and what it was supposed to do. And now I can kind of make it dance a little bit more here and there every now and again. But basically now I've finally got the pitch back, especially since I've been down here. I've really gotten the pitch back, and it's really evened out some things for me. But the evolution of this pitch, my dad taught it to me. My cousin threw it, which was Mike Marshall, won the Cy Young in 74, maybe 75 with the Dodgers. That was just it. My dad taught me how to pitch. My dad taught me the ropes and cut me free whenever I was in 10th grade. Says I'm not, you know how, if you don't know what to do by now, you're in some trouble. So he told me that, and I kind of ran with it.
Very few people throw the screwball. You mentioned Mike Marshall, who did it and did it very successfully. Show me the grip, and how does it differ from your other pitches in terms of the way you grip it?
It's a left-handed breaking pitch coming out of a right-handed arm slot. So it's going to have some fade. It's going to have depth. It's going to have a different spin that you can't really do with a right-handed arm.
What do you do that other guys don't? And how much more time do you think you have to spend on the field to do your training to be able to throw a screwball?
I don't think the training is not to really throw the screwball. To me, it's a flexibility and strengthening mechanism that I use. I've done it ever since I was 13. It's a 6-pound shot put. So, I mean, and you know, some people are like, well, do you throw it? I was like, yeah, I throw it. And they're like, I remember I was in spring training, I was coming off the backfields, and I think that's when Cobb and Moore and all those guys were looking at Smiley's car to where somebody smashed in his windshield. Well, I come off the field, and Cobb's like, what is that? I was like, it's a 6-pound shot, and he's like, you throw that thing? He was like, shh. So some guys, I mean, they got different things. I mean, it's some guys don't like that, some guys like, some guys don't. So, I mean, it's kind of one of those things. But I throw it, but I do throw change. I do throw change-ups and screwballs with that, too. So it's that really helps me get grip strength and spin to be able to do that. And it builds velocity. It built my velocity a little bit, so, I mean, that's why I do it.
And you max out, what, mid-90s now?
Yeah, I think I was up to a 7 earlier on in the year, but now, I mean, I kind of like to pitch a little bit and just kind of add and subtract on the fastball. It's really helping me out a little bit, but, I mean, I can still run it up there with the best of them, so. I mean, I'm not no Chapman or anything, but I can bring one in there pretty good.
What do you want to be 5 years from now?
Where do I want to be 5 years from now? Let's see. I want to be already established by then in a big league rotation. So, I mean, that's what I'm striving for.
Have you learned anything going through a full season about how much better you want to get your body for next year already?
Yeah, I have. I was at a point where, I didn't lift very much in high school and college. I didn't like it. It made me sore. I don't like being sore. I don't get that sore when I pitch, so it's, I don't like that feeling. So I wasn't used to it. So I would go here and there without doing a lift or two. And you know, I think Dewey's the one that came into town in BG and said, look, you know, why are you getting red flagged on the report that you're not lifting? I was like, because I don't like to. He was like, well, this isn't for now, it's for later on. So I decided to take it on, and you know, I got down here and really started working, and I changed, man. I felt a difference.
It is Rays prospect Brent Honeywell, now with the High A Charlotte Stone Crabs. His story is on the latest edition of Prospect Spotlight, which you can find at racebaseball.com. MLB.com/prospect spotlight. Now this week, I had a chance to chat with one of the game's top writers in MLB.com's Richard Justice, who is based in Houston. We discussed his column on the game's top stories this year, which included the Rays' Kevin Kiermaier and the surprising Astros.
It's stunning. It's stunning, Neil. I mean, they average 104 losses. They tore the franchise down and started over. And there's a couple of things about that. One, they had the discipline to stay with the plan. I remember telling Jim Leland, they're going to do this and this and this. And he goes, believe me, when they start losing, they'll sign a bunch of old guys. But they rebuilt it in a hurry. And there's two things. Young guys have stepped up that they – you know, that the pride of their farm system. George Springer is a dazzling player. He'll be back in a week or two. And Carlos Correa, the 20-year-old shortstop, is a cornerstone player. He's a guy you can build a franchise around. Then the general manager, Jeff Luhnow, who ran all those great drafts of the Cardinals, had an offseason where he tried to put them in a position to contend. He signed Gregerson and Neshek for the bullpen, transformed one of the worst world bullpens in baseball to one of the best. They get Gattis. They get Rasmus. Everything is sort of worked out. And you know what's strange about it is, like, if you told them on opening day, we'll be 500, in their heart of hearts, they would have thought that was just fine. But then you're 500, and then you start well, and you look up after a month, and you're in first place, and the bar changes 100%. They suddenly became frantic. They gave up prospects to get Carlos Gomez. They gave up prospects to go out and get Scott Kazmir, right, thanks. And the reason was, this is a window of opportunity. We don't know what Seattle's going to look like next year, or what Oakland's going to look like next year. If you feel you've got a chance, you go for it.
How do you size up the division right now? Because, look, the Angels won 96 games last year, and they've gotten really good performances out of Pujols and Trout. The Rangers, we just saw them, and they look spectacular offensively. How do you look at this three-team race?
Well, this week, I would say Texas is the best team. But, you know, there was stretches earlier this season where I thought Texas was the best team. Then you think the Angels are the best. Then you think, okay, the Astros are going to be able to do this thing. Hey, there's even been stretches where Oakland played really well. I mean, Oakland's record and its number and the numbers don't really add up. So today I would say Texas is probably a little bit better, but the three teams are going to play each other a lot down the stretch. Texas just needs to get a little bit of starting pitching. With Holland back, they've got a chance to have that. Extraordinary when you consider what they've lost, to lose Darvish, to lose Holland for most of the year, very little out of Harrison. But it's fun. But I think that's a larger look at the landscape of baseball, where, you know, on opening day, 25 teams think legitimately we got a shot.
And probably many didn't think Houston was among them, and here they are. And you mentioned George Springer coming back in a week or two. How much does he change this team and just take some pressure off some guys, move some guys down in the order down the stretch?
A few years ago when Scott Rolen was hurt, the Reds asked him to travel with the club. They wanted him around from a physical presence, a noise presence, a leadership presence. It's hard to lead when you're not playing. And the Astros asked George Springer, please travel with us. He's the loudest player. He's a smart aleck. He gets on the coaches. He gets on the manager. And in a six-month season, a nine-month season when things drag, to have a kid who's got unstoppable energy and enthusiasm, that plays big. So he is, and when he was at his best, I'm telling you, back from the Gulf Coast League, Bobby Cox was one of the first guys. He said, the guy stole my heart with the way he plays. Springer and Carlos Correa are two guys you can build a franchise, a lineup around for a long time. He's that dynamic a player.
And as much as we've enjoyed watching Correa from afar and also up close in this series this past week, I think that's what also stands out, the fact that he's a clubhouse leader at 20.
Yeah, and you heard that through the minor leagues. And, you know, it comes back to, like, he was 18. He's the guy that everybody looks to. How can that be? He's just a kid. But, you know, leadership is basically, I'm not sure Jeter said that much, but he was the leader because of his presence and his poise and the way he played. And that, to, you know, more than anything else, I covered Cal Ripken for 10 years, and it was not what he said. It was how he did it. Eddie Murray the same way. And that's what you see with this guy.
I don't know if Kevin Kiermaier is that guy in the Rays clubhouse, but he does provide a certain type of energy, and he was also one of the 10 interesting stories in the game to this point in the year that you highlighted this past week. What have you most enjoyed watching him from a distance?
I told Rick Vaughn, the Rays PR guy, I said he's the most fun player to watch in baseball. Like, every night you could look at a highlight play, and, you know, you get spoiled when you – you know, the Rays thing, the Ray way is we don't give up runs. We go catch everything. We don't make mistakes. And this kid, like, it gets to the point, like, if you watch him play a couple of games, you suddenly think, there's not going to be a ball hit the dirt out there. And he is, you know, I hope people understand, like, whatever he hits, I mean, that he's going to save a lot of games. You know, it means you're going to win 3-2 instead of 7-5. But that's okay, too. A win's a win.
I don't think that people also realize how he can impact the game from that standpoint, from positioning. And what I mean by that, it's almost like a defensive back who takes away the best wide receiver, and now you can double elsewhere. Because of his range in center field, you can move your center fielder, your right fielder, your left fielder closer to line because he can cover more ground. And now having Desmond Jennings back gives you that much more range in the outfield.
That's exactly right. He gives you so many options, and it spoils you so fast because you're not used to – you want everything to be caught. I saw it here when Brad Ausmus was the catcher, that the pitchers were different when somebody else was on the mound. Brad Lidge had this great 88-mile-an-hour slider, and he felt he could get full extension on it, just let it go, because he knew he had basically Ossie Smith behind home plate that was going to catch everything, and it wasn't the same. And that's what one great player doing one great thing can, how he impacts the game. And that's the magic of the Rays, is that they looked at the game and said, okay, where can we have our advantage? The NBA team in Houston, the Houston Rockets, exactly the same thing. What's the value in the NBA? The thing that's valued that you can get as a bargain, defense. And so you try to win on defense because you can afford that in a salary cap sport.
Hmm. Again, Richard Justice with us from MLB Network and MLB.com. And as you take a look at the big picture right now, American League, Kansas City obviously has run away with the Central. The East is up for grabs. The West is up for grabs. The two wild cards are up for grabs. What are the stories you're most closely looking at down the stretch that you think will determine who's the team to beat in this league?
Well, first, I think somebody will emerge. There's going to be a winner in the American League West. But right now, of the three teams, the Angels, Astros, Rangers, I have no idea. And in the East, I just think it's fascinating that you have these two, a heavyweight fight at the top in the Blue Jays and the Yankees, and yet the Orioles, sneaky as always, hanging around, the Rays hanging around, and somebody, you know, is going to win 9 out of 10. Somebody's going to take control. But what we've seen in baseball the last few years is that if you're hot in the last 2 weeks of September, the San Francisco Giants, for instance, you've got a chance.
And the Royals, the two wild card teams were in the World Series last year, should make for a great race. Richard, thanks for a few minutes.
Thank you, Neil.
And that is Richard Justice of MLB.com and MLB Network. Now, you can find the column highlighting Kevin Kiermaier and the Astros, as well as a separate one on Chris Archer after his gem in Houston, all at MLB.com. The Rays invite you to Tropicana Field for Star Trek Night this Friday, August 28th, when the Rays Enterprise takes on the Kansas City Royals. Purchase this special ticket package and receive a Rays Star Trek foam finger. For tickets, visit RaysBaseball.com/special events. We certainly appreciate the time of Richard Justice of MLB.com and MLB Network, and that of all our guests on this week's show, including Rays shortstop Asdrubal Cabrera back in the lineup today, pitching coach for the Rays Jim Hickey, as well as relievers Xavier Cedeno and Brandon Gomes, who both have been on terrific runs for the Rays and obviously trying to pick up the slack for the injured Jake McGee. We also appreciate the time of Scott Kazmir, former Ray, now with the Houston Astros, Rays prospect pitcher Brent Honeywell, and of course Mark Tompkin of the Tampa Bay Times, who you will hear coming up on the Rays pregame show. Now, if you ever have something that you want to hear on this show, This Week in Rays Baseball, all you have to do is tweet me. That's at Neil Solons, all one word. For my producer, Jason Berenger, I'm Neil Solons. Stay tuned. The pregame show is next. The Rays looking for a sweep of the A's in Oakland, and you can hear it coming up. You're listening to the Rays Baseball Network.